This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Waters.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words are love that have been spoken. These truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Sharon is going to read from the first chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, and Dr. Wyatt will reveal for us Paul's thoughts to this group of believers, and that above all, our faith is to bring us from death to life.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading from this letter of Paul's is personal, heartfelt, and profound. This is about life with God, and in my estimation, how pathetic life without God is. Do stay with us.
We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of people we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place where your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming.
Thank you, Sharon, so much. What Sharon has read is the thanksgiving report that begins this letter of Paul's to the fledgling church in Thessalonica. He states that we, meaning he, Silas, and Timothy, are those who make mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. And here Paul uses for the first time what will be a familiar triad phrasing of faith, hope, and love. And then he launches into what becomes a sustained narrative of typical long Pauline sentences. It is first a thanksgiving, a praise for their continuing perseverance, praises for all the members of this newly formed ecclesia, even those who will later come under mild correction. This letter is seen as the positive response that follows Timothy's return, with essentially a good report on this group of believers, despite considerable persecution. Paul's relief shows in expressing this triad of your walk of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of faith, despite those that see some contradiction to Paul's contention that one is not saved by works, but faith only. Paul is, however, if nothing else, consistent, for true faith is always revealed in good works. It is such benevolent works that are natural, that always characterize the life of true faith. or put otherwise, one doesn't believe, come to faith in Christ, and then never display to others what that faith means. The second, labor of love, is not dissimilar. It is the labor prompted by love. It should be common understanding now that the earliest Christians passed over a number of Greek words for love and adopted a word that had not been used much and would make that word their own. Not only was this a new word for Christians, but they had a new idea for this word, agape. Here was poured the Christian theology that God loves us not because we are worthy of such love, nor even that He sees in us potential, but instead God loves despite us being filthy rags. He loves without thought of advantage, for there is nothing we can bring to He who is all things and made all things. He loves because it is His nature to love, because He is love. It is a love that we are to learn does not leave us alone. We might wish for a less persistent pursuit, but that is not God. His love, this agape, is such that we are forced to a decision. We, when faced with this truth, must either yield to His love and be transformed or reject it, and then also to be transformed in yet another way. All of which concludes with what Paul sees as the firm hope that what was begun at the resurrection of Jesus Christ will be brought to the ultimate consummation at His coming. It is not as much patience as a steadfastness of hope, a consistency in the face of difficulties, a spirit that indeed can bear much, not with resignation, but as Paul says, with steady hope. Christians hope in something that is not yet, but which is absolutely certain. It is a hope that rests not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus. Paul continues his thanksgiving by expressing that they know, that is Silas, Timothy, and Paul, that these believers are beloved of God, that He has chosen them. Believers being chosen or elected is one of the great biblical concepts and is often misapplied, for it proceeds first from the reality of God's great love. It is, as Leon Morris has stated, not a device for sentencing man to eternal torment, but rescuing them from it, unquote. Salvation is then not dependent on human caprice, but is rooted in the plan and purpose of God. The proof of such an election is the conversion, the salvation of this newly formed ecclesia. It has all happened because of Paul's Spirit-inspired proclamation of the gospel, which resulted by the work of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction to them and their joyful experience of God's redemption and justification. Paul will now sum up their experience, that this all came not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. This is to be seen as the action of God's love, and should, in all who experience such love, a real force in the life of all believers, those who are God's new people, or as I have written, God's new chosen race. What Paul has proclaimed to the Philippians is thus totally different from what the many religious and philosophical lecturers and monobanks that have infiltrated the Roman world. These would extract a living from those, as Luke records, of the Athenians, who spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. But Paul presents the good news of the Christ who was crucified and who is now the risen Lord. To the Greeks, this would all seem pure silliness, but Paul would remind this church that they had experienced something real. Paul's words were accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the gospel is preached, God is there at work. Thus the gospel is power. It is, as Luther called it, the word from without. Power in our New Testament is always associated with the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is no evil power that deludes, but God's Spirit leading those that will unto salvation. that such power is not experienced in many of our Christian gatherings is simply because the Holy Spirit is not much in attendance, not included, and often there is no familiarity with the Holy Spirit and certainly His moving. There is no such power in the hearing of such phrasing that might mention the truth of the gospel in that preacher who bears no fruit of the Spirit, where there is ignorance or worse, a disdain for the Spirit's existence and potential activity. It is why Paul will express the evidence of just what kind of men they proved to be in their midst and remind them how they had become imitators of the three of them and thereby of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this reveals a church, despite its frailness, small size, its being persecuted, that even with creeping concerns and the seeping doubts as they are pounded by the community for their being different, told that they are being deceived, taken advantage of, Paul would remind them and us that God has been at work in their midst. The Spirit has brought a change in them all, and undoubtedly they had seen the signs and wonders. I find so much that we today need to hear, that too many may not have experienced what our New Testament calls signs and wonders, works of power. They are real, but too often we become jaded and indifferent to what God is doing, and we need to be reminded of what God has done in us and would do through us. There is power in the gospel. There remains always a wealth of witness to the power of salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit. It is real, and we need to live in that Spirit and in the expectation of His speaking and acting in our midst. Perhaps we shy away because of what Paul now adds. You received the word in much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is said too often that believers do experience affliction. So let us emphasize that such is received with joy, an inner serenity, a blessedness that nothing in the world can steal away. As the disciples from the beginning, when told to cease preaching Christ, when beaten, would rejoice in that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Such joy is for Paul sure evidence of the Spirit's presence, especially when facing any difficulty or uncertainty. It is for him an indication of the reality of what is to come in God's kingdom, that our existence is in Him, and our present life is but transient and impermanent. And so, as these men have been an example to those in Thessalonica, so these believers, their own difficulties, their persecution has proved to be an example to believers throughout Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, throughout Greece. Note the mark of the Christian faith. What is admired is that steadfast hope. Yes, the labor of love, the work of faith, but it is standing up for the faith, dependent on Christ alone. It is not programs, the security that our church building is there and services are every Sunday at whatever the hour, that the pastor will preach and we have programs to take care of those in need and those needing visitation, all of which is essential and necessary in this present world. But it is standing firm, faithful, when threatened to abandon all you own and hope to have, or convert to some other religion, or have your throat cut, would we, as so many have done, take what you could carry and flee, not even knowing if you will find refuge? We surely here in our comfort and security need to admire and hold up those that give no quarter to evil, but trust in our Lord. It must give us pause and wonder. They had praised for their turning to God from dead idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Christianity is not the uptight, confining religion often portrayed, but connects us to the living God. Not as they had once had, worshiping some lifeless stone carving, not crawling before a false god, but uplifted in worship of the one true God. I am more than ever convinced of this truth. Even in our day when everything is spun, presented in the best possible public relation light, and whatever may be unsavory is hidden from our sight, things that are so blatantly false, even ridiculous, yet they have their fanatical adherents, of electrical devices with lights that supposedly specifically measure your personal defects, of claims of great civilizations, of super creatures hidden or lost, of great cities now lost, but which, of course, there is no evidence and never will be, of supposed infallible past leaders who have uttered preposterous claims or predictions, which are now conveniently not mentioned or forgotten, and the histories rewritten. One could go on and on, but you get the point, I am sure. There is false religion, and then there is the truth. Not all religions point to the one true and living God, despite what many try to assert. The false and the idolatry will but lead astray. What is true is, as Paul concludes, is that we wait for the return of God's Son from heaven. This is one of the cardinal tenets of Christianity, the return of Christ, now only in judgment. Paul will then add, "He who raised Jesus from the dead," what has become the singular designation of Christianity, Christ raised, and as believers, we are to be delivered from the wrath to come. The word wrath, orge, is used in our New Testament to refer only to God's final judgment on evil and has nothing to do with believers. Persecution, tribulation, yes, but never God's wrath. That is why the joy for becoming a Christian is not entering some religion, going from one belief system to another, but by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. We are chosen by God Himself. We pass not to some religious system, but we are passing from death to life. Lord, let us realize fully what it is that we have in Christ Jesus. This is not a religious form. This is not just one religion among many. But in Him, we have passed from death, certain death, from a destiny that is without God, utterly in darkness, far from Him. But we pass unto life, true life, a life of the kingdom now come on earth as it is in heaven. For it is by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus forever. Amen and amen.
What Paul has so carefully laid out should be important to the Thessalonians and has also revealed what is for us of utmost importance. That in Christ we have come from death to life. There is nothing more profound for our lives, our expectations, and our heritage than what has been brought about by Christ Jesus. That is Thomas's point in his book, A Chosen Race, that we who are in Christ are God's own and are His people, destined from before the foundations of the earth to dwell with Him. In his book, this is all presented so clearly and scripturally. You will want a copy of A Chosen Race, and it can be yours at no charge. Well, dear ones, have we told you how much we love and appreciate all of you? Well, I am saying it at this very moment because you do mean so much to us. This is, as you know, a teaching ministry, but there is so much more to the Wings of Healing. It is our foreign ministries and our desire for healing and wholeness brought about by God's hand in answer to prayer, and there is so much more. We desire your participation, your partnership, and especially your prayers. There is no limit to what our God can do and will do for you. So do not hesitate to ask if we can be of help to you in your trials, and then we can share your victories as well. So please do write. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I love this theme that we have been brought from faith to life. He has broken the chains, and we have run out of our grave into his glorious day. There are so many that have found this true, that there is life in Christ. There is nothing more fulfilling, gracious, loving than life in Christ Jesus. Those that refuse his free offer of forgiveness, wholeness, and his life-healing presence are fools. Life in Christ is everything. Life without him is empty, nihilistic, and void of meaning. That's the choice. Meaning, value, love, or emptiness. No meaning or worth without him. So if you are on the edge, do right. We are here for you, and Dennis will provide our addresses once more. After Travis Cottrell performs what I have already introduced, Glorious Day. And until next week, know that life in him is a glorious day.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his scriptural study of Who Are Called to Be the People of God, titled The Chosen Race. Here is briefly and biblically presented the purpose of God in his calling us and his atoning work in Jesus Christ. This is a subject too often overlooked or ignored, but is vital for all believers. So do right and ask for the chosen race. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.